Well, it's the heart of summer now, and it's time for a quick summer challenge update for Compassion Radio. First of all, thanks to all of you who have accepted our challenge to join our vision team for the first time. We're making progress on our goal of at least 200 new vision team partners. Compassion Radio giving partners make it possible for us to also have special ministry projects, like Bibles for China, Door of Hope in South Africa, or the Treasure Audio Bible Project, which places audio Bibles in some of the most remote places around the world. These powerful partnerships and projects happen because you make Compassion Radio possible, and we're here to tell you all about it. If you haven't before, please consider joining our vision team to support one of the most unique media missions in the world today. Just choose an amount that suits your faith and God's provision. Frank will tell you how to do that later in the program. God bless you, friends. And now to today's story.
Last time on Compassion Radio.
If we refuse to put others on pedestals, then the question becomes, if that power is really alive in them, and they're really like me, why is the power of God not alive in me? And we have to grapple with that question.
Yeah.
If it's really, truly, truly true, and it's alive in others, we have to face the reality that something may be holding us back from experiencing that kind of power. And I'm not talking about the power to go out there and be an evangelist or a great speaker or all the worldly things that entrance people or intrigue them. I'm just talking about being able to be an honest witness for something that you've experienced.
Welcome back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us as Bram and his wife Sandy continue with their study entitled Chasing the Word Together.
Well, Sandy, we've had a week off from our Chasing the Word series. You and I just got back from one of the most important experiences I think a parent can have. We just got to marry off our oldest daughter. And what a joy it was to be with family and friends we haven't seen in a very long time. Up at their home in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. That first big wedding of our family's history.
It was an amazing time for us.
So now we're back in the saddle, back in Texas, and ready to jump right back into the Word. I know many people have been writing us about what they've been experiencing by being part of this series, and our challenge all along has been what?
Read it together, study it together, chase it together.
And when we say read it together, we mean to read it together. And like family times, think about how you read to your kids a story when they were little. You imploded your whole self into the story and made the characters come alive for your kids because you love them. And I don't know many parents who haven't at least read a few books to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
We do that out of love. The Word of God is a love story, and we should be spending time treating it like it's a story that God wants read aloud.
Mm-hmm.
So do that. And we do this on this program, actually read the entire chapter through and then talk about it. But we're not just talking about it for the ideas of man. What we're trying to do is go for the heart of God in these scriptures. We know that scripture is inspired by God and intended for all good things, to teach us, to reprove us, to grow us up, mm-hmm. to become spiritually mature. So we know that anytime we dive into the Word, it's going to be a good thing.
Well, especially in the book of Acts, it is such a beautiful adventure story, in my opinion. I think it's amazing how you see all of the apostles as they're being spread out over the known world at the time and how God is weaving their stories into the lives of other people around the world. And we're meeting some really great characters. We're meeting some very brave people, people who have given up everything for the cause of Christ.
And it's a story that's being written now in the lives of Christians that we've met all around the world. So we are reading the book of Acts as a living testament to what God does. Not just what he did, but who he is. God is consistent. Jesus is still saving people today the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And he's empowering people to do his work in all parts of the world his way.
Mm-hmm.
We can't reinvent the gospel.
Right.
Now we have to rediscover it in every generation. And that's what we've been doing with this Chasing the Word series. And of course, the whole purpose of the book of Acts was to declare the mighty works of God to the generation in which they lived, reminding all of these young believers why they follow a risen Savior and that they do in fact follow a risen Savior.
Right.
These things were fundamental truths that had to be acknowledged and understood fundamentally, where there was no church to come.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was so important then. It's still so important now. And now, deep in the very heart of the book of Acts, we have the breakthrough and the breakdown of the church all at the same time. And this chapter is going to talk about what happens when stuff comes up.
Well, I'm reminded of the people that you and I have met around the world who are intrepid for the Word of God. They yes. are going out. We met, I don't know, was it 15 years ago in India, these barefoot pastors yes. that were going from village to village, taking the Word of God, planting churches, baptizing believers. And then just recently in China, we yes. met some amazing believers, men and women who were committed to the gospel, committed to taking the gospel wherever it was needed, and were desperate for the Word of God in their hands yes. so that they could share it with those people that they live their lives with, their neighbors, their grocery store owners, their shop owners, their friends, their family. They wanted to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with these people.
The word gospel means good news. And when you've been isolated for a very long time and you get a letter from someone you love, that's a breath of fresh air.
Good news.
It's good news for you. Now imagine that you've been isolated as believers and not knowing if the second coming is next week or in 1,000 years. You don't know what's going to happen next. All you know is that the government seems to be more and more opposed to what you believe and who you follow. And it could be very dangerous and dicey out there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's coming next. And then a letter shows up. Something that Paul or Peter or the other apostles have handwritten and said, send this around to the churches so that they may be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
What joy would have been in their hearts to read the Word of God for the first time.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Coming up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria as they chase the word together here on Compassion Radio.
This is Cher Nelson. This 75th year of broadcasting is very important and emotional for us. Important because God is opening new opportunities and new places for us to be able to share the compassion of Christ to the persecuted but triumphant church around the world, and to take God's word to people who have never heard or read. And emotional because we are challenged to preserve the amazing legacy of the ministry first Wilbur Nelson and then Norm left with us. Norm left us much sooner and more suddenly than any of us anticipated, and we have earnestly endeavored to continue the path that was laid down before us. But we're facing a difficult financial season, and we don't have the warm and trustworthy voice of Norm to tell you how much we need your support. But Wilbur always said, in times of financial need, ask the Lord and tell the people. And so that's what we're doing. Asking the Lord to touch hearts and telling you, we need your partnership. Not just your money, but your prayer-covered partnership giving, especially if you can join our vision team with a monthly pledge. But if you believe in our working together, we need your support however and whenever you can, and especially this month. Please, dear friends, will you help us?
To support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. Or you can write P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And last but not least, you can text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And thank you so very much.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
And it could be very dangerous and dicey out there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's coming next. And then a letter shows up. Something that Paul or Peter or the other apostles have handwritten and said, send this around to the churches so that they may be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
What joy would have been in their hearts to read the Word of God for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty amazing thought, that someone had to read the Word of God for the first time. Now, we've discovered in our travels that people are discovering this Word for the first time all over the world.
Exactly.
They haven't had it in their hands for all their lives like many Americans have. So that's why we're almost stunned to see people respond like we read about in the book of Acts, because they're in similar straits. They're facing great opposition and insecurity, but they have great security in Jesus. And then they find out that other people have experienced the same things.
It's life-giving for them.
It is. Now imagine what happens when you have this life and you've been worshiping God, and it's new and it's fresh to you, and then someone steps back in the picture and decides to throw a whole heap of legalism back on top of you. That would be a pretty discouraging
mm-hmm.
situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so begins chapter 15. And that phrase which pops out from time to time, some men, and some men usually means a bad thing, they came down from Judea and began teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised in accordance with the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.
Their peace was disturbed by these people.
And it happens all the time, even today. Paul and Barnabas disagreed greatly and debated with these people, so it was determined that Paul and Barnabas and some of the others from their group would go up to Jerusalem, to the apostles themselves and to the elders, and confer with them concerning this issue. So, after being supplied and sent on their way by the church, they went through both Phoenicia and Samaria, telling in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and they brought great joy to all the believers. It's amazing what the story of God's breakthroughs can do in the hearts and minds of people everywhere you go.
We love to hear those kind of stories ourselves in our own churches here in the U.S. We love to hear about a group of people that have come to know Jesus, or someone that has been so far from what we would consider a Christian come to the fold and come to know Christ in a personal way, and their lives are transformed. We find great joy in that.
Yes. Now consider that this great joy has been greatly interrupted now. And I'm so glad that it happened, because we're about to be liberated in a way that we would never have expected. And it's still an internal fight and spiritual battle that goes on to this day, as we read next. When they arrived in Jerusalem, they were received warmly by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported to them all the things that God had accomplished through them. But some from the sect of the Pharisees, who had believed in Jesus as the Messiah, stood up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise the Gentile converts and to direct them to observe the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. After a long debate, Peter got up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the message of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows and understands the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith in Jesus. Now then, why are you testing God by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we have been able to endure? But we believe that we are saved through the precious, undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus, which makes us free of the guilt of sin and grants us eternal life in just the same way as they are." What matters here? The history, the tradition, the religion, or the living, abiding presence of a powerful, risen Savior? That's the big question.
That would have been an interesting debate to be part of. To hear the back and forth, to hear the reasoning of one side and the other. I believe that it's important to know the law of Moses. For us even, I believe it's important for us to know and understand Scripture, old and new, both testaments.
The requirement, though, I think for any follower of his, any disciple of the living Jesus, is not to find something to make his work complete in the Old Testament. But to find the nuggets of the good news in the Old Testament. Everything about this, we understand, is supposed to be pointing us to Jesus. It doesn't just point to Jesus. It is telling us, look for the Messiah. It told the Old Testament Jews the same thing. Look for the Messiah. In fact, they got very specific with all the prophecies. Look for him in Bethlehem. Look for him being born to a virgin. Look for him in these places. So all the clues were there. They were told to look forward to the Messiah to come rescue them. It's still calling us to do the same thing. So the prophecies of the Old Testament are meant to lead every man, every woman around the world in any time to that place in the manger where love began to be felt in a way we've never experienced it before. This is not about head knowledge. This is heart knowledge.
Right. Well, Peter silenced the crowd with his words. While Barnabas and Paul reported all the miracles and signs and wonders God had done among the outsiders. When they finished, James, the brother of Jesus, spoke up. "My brothers, hear me. Simon Peter reminded us how God first included outsiders in his favor, taking people from among them for his name. This resonates with the words of the prophet Amos. After this, I will return and rebuild the house of David, which has fallen into ruins. From its wreckage, I will rebuild it, so all the nations may seek the Eternal One, including every person among the outsiders who has been called by my name. This is the word of the Lord, who has been revealing these things since ancient times.
Now let's talk about what the wreckage is that he's talking about here. The debris, the rubble of David's kingdom, is not about the palaces. It's not about the great houses of worship, because he didn't build those things. He had a palace, but it was his sons coming after him that built up everything that the country of Israel, the nation of Israel throughout history, understood to be the landmarks, the things they would put on their coins, the temple in Jerusalem. Those things were built later. James is talking about the rubble, the crumbling of what David had and what he was. And he was, at his heart, a worshiper. So if you think about the things that David left us, the legacy that endured, it's not his weapons. It's not even his victories in battle. It's not even his conquest of Jerusalem, the city. It is his psalms. If you think about where God inhabits, he says he inhabits the praises of his people. So the temple could not contain him, but when the praise came, when the worship came, great things happened. They always have. And not because of the buildings, but because of the worship. So I would say that James is saying, look, you insiders, these outsiders are praising God and lifting high the name of Jesus. You cannot tell me that the legacy, the history, the kingdom of David is not being rebuilt. Everything we appreciate that we honor about David as our king, the worshipful warrior, is alive in them. So if you want to see the kingdom restored, the kingdom of David, watch it happen in the hearts and lives of anybody God touches with his spirit.
So here is the counsel of James. We should not burden these outsiders who are turning to God. We should instead write a letter instructing them to abstain from four things. First, things associated with idol worship. Second, sexual immorality. Third, food killed by strangling. And fourth, blood. My reason for these four exceptions is that in every city there are Jewish communities where, for generations, the laws of Moses have been proclaimed, and on every Sabbath, Moses is read in synagogues everywhere. This seemed like a good idea to the apostles, the elders, and the entire church. So they commissioned men from among them and sent them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent two prominent men among the believers, Judas, also known as Barsabbas, and Silas, to deliver this letter.
Think about the four things that James recommends they withhold from. There already was a testimony in all of these cities for the Jewish community. My gut tells me that one of the reasons that Spirit nudged James in this way was so that the true church over history would not forget the people who are the inheritor of the root of Jesse. That there would always be a tenderness between Christians, people following the rabbi, the Messiah, Jesus, and the people from which he came. Because we have seen in history when that gets blown apart, that all kinds of horrid, horrible things have happened to the Jewish people and to the hearts and minds of those who claim to be righteous. We're two generations now of people that have survived the Holocaust and the World War II. But that kind of Holocaust is going on constantly and has been for hundreds and thousands of years. I think what James is trying to remind us of is that there's a tender place in God's heart for the family of his origin. He had a mom. He had a dad. He had a synagogue he went to. And there's something about when he entered into the mix here that he's saying, I value. And therefore, the moral center of the things that were always good and always will be good in every society need to be remembered and reminded unto those who would worship. Things like ritual sacrifice and causing pain or anguish to animals that are sacrificed to idols is just abhorrent. So we would look at that today and say, willfully abusing animals or doing despicable things in public in order to show something to your God for shock value is always going to be morally wrong.
Well, many of these things that James is talking about were associated with some of the pagan rituals in the temples in the cities where Paul and Barnabas had been preaching.
So he is cautioning those who are new believers to step away from the things that will always be opposed to God. At the same time, Peter was cautioning all of the Jews to step away from the things that keep you far from God within your own religion. They're both being cautioned here. And I think there's a genuine fairness and kindness here in saying, let's find the commonality, the Christ in the center of all of this, because that's where we're going to build this kingdom on earth, because we've been given the keys to the kingdom.
Right.
Jesus said, I'm handing you the keys.
They are.
Start unlocking doors. Start locking down the prisons for the principalities and the powers that are going to go against you. So that kind of battle royale, if you want to call it that, against the spiritual forces is still alive and well. Frankly, the battle is being won by anybody who's willing to stand up. Mm. It may cost them their lives on this earth, but at the same time, the kind of life is gained from the experience of knowing Jesus in trial and in troubles is something that is truly incomparable. And we've met so many people in this generation who have experienced genuine persecution. I'm not just talking about physical pain or torture, but the kind of things which say, your life is not worth living, and we're going to make life incredibly difficult for you simply because you choose to follow that rabbi that we oppose.
Yeah.
That's happening in countries all around
all
the world.
All over the world.
So I am no arbiter or judge of people's suffering. I'm not going to say that someone did not suffer compared to somebody else. This is not a comparison game. Where people make sacrifice and where God says, this is not going to be easy, but for my name's sake, I ask you to go there. Follow me here. That's a tough thing to do, but God enables us to obey him every time if we're willing to say yes. That's what humbles me the most, I think, in this world, is sitting at the feet of people who have said yes to him, knowing it could cost them their lives.
Right.
Knowing it will probably cost them their job or their citizenship or their freedom or their family or their potential wealth, their position in society. All those things are likely to be stripped away, but for the surpassing richness of Christ, nobody would go there. That's the kind of compassion that Compassion Radio has stood for and that we are going to stand for until God takes the breath out of our lungs. This is what we do, reminding ourselves that this is alive and well today. What's the rest of the chapter got for us, honey?
Wow, that was a good sermon there. Here's the letter that the men were sent to Antioch to deliver. The Brotherhood, including the apostles and elders in Jerusalem, send greetings to the outsider believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. We have heard that certain people from among us, without authorization from us, have said things that in turn upset you and unsettle your minds. We have decided unanimously to choose and send two representatives along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who, as you know, have risked their lives for our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. These representatives, Judas and Silas, will confirm verbally what you will read in this letter. It has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to keep you free from all burdens except these four. Abstain from anything sacrificed to idols, from blood, from food killed by strangling, and from sexual immorality. Avoid these things and you will be just fine. Farewell.
You'll be just fine.
That's a good lesson for us today.
Exactly. Where are the idols being worshipped now? And where do people get drawn to depravity? Every generation has to discern these things. What things are obviously being set up to oppose God? Now, people have gone very political on this and have focused on the legalizing or the criminalization of certain kinds of behaviors and made that the line in the sand for what morality means. I think the law of Christ that he's expressing here is much, much more organic and fluid.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.